Welcome to Dial-A-Dork, where tonight the Flare Spectacular will be happening. We've got mud! Because Cleveland had lots of rain and the city almost floated into the lake.
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus.
All right, was that the start of the show? Or
who knows? I mean, I've never done it before. I guess, what the hell?
I guess you just did it. So anyway.
So on that front, before we go further, that was my buddy I was just talking to.
Yeah.
He's supposed to have surgery today.
Yeah.
And was down at the hospital and got rained out. Power went out.
Was he right at St. John's?
What hospital?
I heard Beth was saying about
St. John's or St. V's. Whatever one's right here.
St. Vincent's over here on 22nd.
Yeah. So he's ready to go, getting ready on the gurney to go into surgery. The hospital goes down.
Holy shit.
I guess their generators and everything flooded out. So.
Fuck.
What kind of geek is that?
You, man. Yeah.
You know, somebody did not do the emergency or the disaster plan very well there.
Right.
They need some comm group support there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I would do is I'll strap these generator to rafts.
Anyway, welcome to the show.
If Chachi did, was it IT guy?
Chachi loves IT.
That sounds like a new segment.
All right, we can call it our. We gotta come up with. Oh my god, that was a hideously enormous pie bite. Anyway, we are joined tonight by Dork Almighty and Dan the Master Googler, and
our honorable MC Irving Katz.
Heyo.
Okay.
So basically, you guys are finishing up a delicious slice of my wife's wonderful pie.
Wonderful it is.
Yes, this could be an episode of Beavis and Butthead so far. He said pie. Okay. So anyway, it was cherry blueberry pie a la mode.
It was nice cherries.
My wife's cherry. Dude, my wife's cherry has been history for like 16 years, so let's just forget about that.
Irv's wife's cherry pie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jenny Lane, Cleveland native, I think.
Nice.
Did you hear some dude today on the radio said that he swears that Bret Michaels almost ran him off the road today, gave him the double bird out the window.
This guy's on a TV show.
Wait a minute, how the hell do you do the double bird out the window?
He like let go of the steering wheel.
Two hands out.
Double barrel bird out the window. And he said he had blonde hair down to his shoulders. He was wearing a headband and had no shirt on. driving like a 10-year-old Ford Explorer or something.
Is the hairband gala in town or something?
Well, I think doesn't Bret Michaels have his own show now?
Oh.
I think so.
On TNT or something like the Flavor of Love, only for white guys.
Yeah. The other show is the
Flavor. Flavor.
Look, this is the Flare Spectacular, this show. We've got
Wii's around.
Matt and I both got a Wii since our last show. Of course,
Dan has no Wii.
I have a PS2, though.
My Wii might be small, but I have one.
Exactly.
And so Matt and I got Wii's, but Matt also got an iPhone, and Dan got a, what is it, Envy?
An Envy.
An LG.
ENV.
For under what carrier is that?
This is Verizon. It's about the network.
The clamshell.
Clamshell, if you will. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard. I assume, does the screen change aspect ratio?
It does.
Depending on which way you have it, it looks like it has a camera. It's also got a nice like rust color. It's actually pretty sweet. It's extremely light. This is extraordinarily light.
Don't drop it.
There's no porn on it yet. I've only had it for a day.
And there's like a Give video it time. Of a, what's mm-hmm. the video of a dog?
That's my
That's
dog.
For porn.
I was reading through my what I could do with it last night, and I videoed my dog and made it my backdrop.
This is pretty sweet. So you open it up, and it's got the soft keys, it's got the QWERTY keyboard, it's got the little.
Right, it's got the D-pad.
You know, send and end.
It also can take a 4 gig micro SD card.
Nice.
Micro SD card.
It'll record video.
It's got a little screen on the front, you know, kind of like caller ID, so on and so forth. It's got the camera. Looks pretty good. Was it one? How many megapixels?
2.0.
2 megapixels. Nice, nice. I mean, this looks like a totally nice little phone here.
It's not bad. $5 a month to surf the basic sites that are WAP enabled.
That's pretty cool.
It's good.
So it's not unlimited. Yeah.
I paid Singular $19.99 a month for unlimited use of their like MediaNet, which is basically their like web proxy. But I can pretty much do anything, including get email. But I just pretty just surf the hell out of it.
Right, RedTube.
I don't go to RedTube on my E62. It can't quite hack it. But I wonder if this here iPhone could. Now, Matt has got the iPhone. This is the 8 gigabyte iPhone.
Correct.
The real deal.
You know, to double the gigs for $100,
mm-hmm.
it just made sense.
You're already paying $500 or $600, right?
So it was $599. I had a $100, you know, Singular rebate to use anyway. So,
okay,
use that and paid $550 total for it.
$550. How do you like it?
I love it. It's awesome. It saved my ass in Philly yesterday because of its Google Map ability. Just hit the directions from the Philly airport to where I was going, and boom.
That's nice.
And then when
GPS, or is it just?
No, it doesn't.
That's like the Google Maps application.
Yeah, it's Nokia. Totally like yeah.
Just Google Maps.
That's right.
Like, I don't even think it can tie into a GPS. Although mine, the E62 can use a Bluetooth GPS.
That is Bluetooth enabled. So I imagine when they release further applications for it, you could easily do
What's the passcode here?
So how do we see each other then?
All right, someone's calling. This could be Jason Scott, ladies and gentlemen.
We have a caller.
Hello, you've reached Dial-A-Dork. You're on speakerphone. May I help you?
Hi, it's
Jason. Mr. Scott.
Mr. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing very well, actually.
That's fantastic. So to what do we owe this honor?
Well, I was invited on, actually.
Oh, that's right. What the hell am I talking about?
When the hell did we do that?
I did that.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, look, let me get another mic going here, and I'll put it up next to your speakerphone speaker, and we'll take it from there.
Oh, even better. What a good way to do it. Top line.
It doesn't get any better than this, but we are going to discuss with you our options of how to get you on the show without burning up any cell phone minutes or anything like that. So hang on just one second, all right?
Okay.
All right, let's do the old... All right, turn the microphone on.
That's always a critical piece of AV techniques.
And then we'll put the phone right up to it. And Jason, why don't you do a little sound test for us?
Nobody told me that CoCores would be this expensive.
Hey, that looks pretty good. And, you know, if you have to ask the price, you can't afford it.
Indeed.
Exactly it.
All right, so I don't know if you know, but this is our Flare Spectacular. We are looking at Matt's new iPhone. Have you seen one of these yet?
I've seen them and touched them and been photographed by them.
I shook one's hand.
Yeah, I haven't, I'm probably not going to buy one, but I have definitely interacted with them.
What do you think of them?
I think they're cute.
Yeah.
It took me years to buy an iPod, and the only reason I bought an iPod was so that I could listen to something during my workout so I'd not go crazy. And I use it to listen to radio shows and else on my iPod. So that's why I ultimately bought it, not because it was a sexy little piece of metal sex. And so when I see the iPhone, I think, okay, let's... Pretty neat. I mean, I guess it sort of does what the iTunes thing does. I guess it's sort of cute looking. And I mean, if you got one, who's going to complain?
Well, there are people who are complaining.
Of course.
There's people who are going to complain.
Yeah, there's whiners out there.
You know, there is a class action lawsuit. Mac, what is the specifics on that? Is it something about the battery? Because it's not removable or replaceable? Or what is the story there?
Yeah, I haven't read the exact T&Cs, so terms and conditions. But, we can look that up.
Okay.
From what I understand, you're basically limited to like 400 charges, right? And then you have to send it in for a new battery?
That I don't know.
That's what I've read.
I have no idea.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, there are always going to be guys who, once they're screwed with a supermodel... complain about how tired they are.
I think somebody said something about... I don't know where this came from, but somebody said something about no matter how pretty a girl is, there's somebody out there who's tired of banging her.
Yeah.
Someone put up with her shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the line I had from a was a columnist. Actually, it was a guy. It was a guy quoting a columnist, which was basically, you know, if my job was to have sex with a beautiful woman 3 times a day, you know, it's great the first 2 months. You know, and so it's the same thing with the iPhone. It's like, wow, what a sexy piece of equipment. And then give them enough time, and you go, wait a second, I'm constantly pressing this flat surface with no feedback.
That's true. That is a complaint of some of the people who, or that's one of the reasons why I think there are some, you know, some enthusiasts who didn't buy it.
I saw the NES emulator that they now have for it. Somebody made an NES emulator.
That's kind of fast.
I saw that.
And it's got a little controller on it. And how much fun do you think that is for more than 2 seconds?
That's trying true.
To, you know, you're pressing a
picture
of a controller.
I pressed up, goddammit, up! Yeah, so we're also going to be talking about our Nintendo Wii's that we bought.
Excellent, got one myself.
What's your impression of that?
Oh, I love the little bastard.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Now do you have? I've got mine about, I don't know, less than a week ago. So all I have is the Wii Sports that came with it. And I bought the Wii Play, so I got the extra Wiimote with that came with it. And I also got the extra Nunchuck. And so that's all I have is Wii Sports and Wii Play. Do you have any other games?
Jason?
Well, I actually waited in line on November 19th.
Nice.
Does it come with a Wii person?
I got my little Excite truck, and I picked up probably about 6 or 7. My plan was to buy all of them, but just like every other console, I started discovering that there was crap. Like, I really haven't had the urge to open up the copy of Happy Feet that I bought. But of the titles that I have, that I've played, I really enjoyed Twilight Princess.
I've got that one. It's nice.
The guys who complain about it being too short can just eat me. I thought it was fantastic.
Agreed.
3 weeks to solve it.
That's a good manageable length of time for a game. I mean, not everybody has, you know, zero life.
Right. I mean, that's the thing that kills me about it, is that, you know, I mean, I hear about these things where people go, oh, it's one half of what it could be, and I'm thinking, for who? You know, I mean, it's great. It's a great game. And I got Paper Mario, which I really enjoyed. Paper Mario integrates with the controller beautifully.
What is Paper Mario?
Paper Mario is third. Well, technically it's the fourth in the Mario RPG series. What it is basically, first they had Mario RPG, and then they had, like, they were going to come out with number 2, and then I think they renamed it to Paper Mario, so that it was, like, everything, and it was two-dimensional, working in a three-dimensional space, so kind
of
cool.
So it wasn't just an updated version of the game Paperboy?
No.
That would be cool.
Yet another good game for the
fantastic.
NES.
That would have been awesome.
That's how you judge the viability of a console. Is how soon after launch do they have Paperboy?
Paperboy and Q-Bert and Tempest.
Excitebike.
Yeah, I think my Xbox 360's got Paperboy.
Is that right?
Sure it does.
All right. So look, we got 3 Wiis, 1 iPhone, and we were also talking about Dan's Envy. He bought the new Envy from Verizon and LG, and it's one of these clamshell phones, and it's pretty nice, I gotta say.
Not bad.
I know nothing from nothing about that.
It's got, you know, it's really nice, and it's much, you know, I'm noticing that the iPhone is, you know, it's I don't know what the word I'm looking for. They're of equal length, but the iPhone is not as tall. Does
mine has more
sense?
Girth, I think.
Yeah, but yours weighs like half, like the Envy is half as heavy. As the iPhone is, you know, despite its rather diminutive size, is quite heavy, I think.
Right.
Is it a physical drive, or is it a solid state?
It's solid state.
It is solid state?
But
yeah.
I think it's got a colossal battery for its size. And I read that was something that they did. I think because it has this, you know, fixed battery, I think they gave it a whopper of a battery. So I'm told the battery life is very good. But
so far it's gone 3 days.
You haven't charged it yet?
No. I mean, it was fully charged yesterday, but the longest I've had it without between charges was 3 days, and that was like 24 hours of use time and then 2 days of sleep time. So if you figure, you know, like, because it keeps track of the usage, which is kind of nice.
That is nice.
But anyway, the, you know.
I mean, it comes down to, are you happy with it?
I am totally happy with it because it's not only sexy, but it is useful and it saves my ass. And I've never been able to surf effectively on any kind of smartphone or cell phone or anything as with this. I don't care about the tactile feedback. It doesn't matter to me. And
is this the first time you had a decent web browser on your phone?
No, I mean, I had a BlackBerry for a while.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly, that's a decent, you know, web browser, but even that was a pain in the ass to use half of the time. Like the guy on, what the hell was it? Either Tom's Hardware or Ars Technica said today, it's all about the screen real estate. You know?
This has got a lot of screen. This thing is mostly screen.
Yes.
It's like 80% screen on the front.
Yeah. So when I can, like, you know, in miniature mode, catch a whole page at one time, even though I might be able to read the small text, you'd read the headlines, you know, sip down to it, zoom it out, and you're ready to go.
How's the network performance? Because I'm on the same network you are.
AT&T. Oh, I've had great cellular coverage, and the download rates have. Yeah, download rates have been good.
Oh my God. Okay, hey, Jason.
Yes.
I have to tell you that twice already while you were talking, you were interrupted by call waiting. Now, I did not switch over to the other call. I ignored it.
I'm touched by that.
But I just want you to know that if you go back and listen to yourself, you will be you will notice that some of your sentences were interrupted by a beeping noise, if you will.
R2-D2's in the house.
Yeah, R2-D2 sounds like he interrupted you.
I hope it's nothing major that he had to tell you, because...
That's funny. By the way, we're all over the place, I know, but this is very typical for the show. But, Jason, I just wanted to personally apologize to you that we were not more active this past year at Nauticon and didn't take we didn't do our what had become our typical 3 to 4 hour show or anything like that.
Well, for this past year, Nauticon Radio really took it in the nut bag after two really good years. A lot of it because we were focusing so much on starting up Block Party and getting that right.
I see.
And it was a good trade. I mean, We had very little performance of Nauticon Radio. It might as well have been an off year, and that's fine. I have maybe 2 hours of Nauticon Radio from this past year. But on the other hand, we have this really great Block Party event that happened. So next year we're going to be a little more careful about making sure that it's got a lot of stuff arranged, and so that it can survive without having us, you know, have to keep our very eye on it. But I gave it over to a new manager. And he, unfortunately, couldn't find me to ask a lot of the basic questions, like, who do I talk to about getting on the network, and what do I do? So, as a result, it just didn't happen. So, Block Party next time will be more established, and I can tell people, okay, do this, and handle it. So, no, I'm totally, you have nothing to worry about. I mean, we have, you know, considering this little basic idea has over 40 hours of audio up on the internet now, you know, for just 2 weekends of work. That's just great. So for me, no, you have nothing to apologize for. The only thing you have to apologize for is canceling every week ever.
I know. That's been really, really rough. Now, as you may or may not know, we had our first child here, and you know, he's 8.5 months old, and it's become increasingly difficult to put shows together. Mostly, there's a lot of fatigue, but mostly it's just too goddamn busy, and and not to mention the fact that my cast members have suddenly become unbelievably unreliable. I mean, most times I would probably be able to hack it. But, it's been really tough. Like Drew, Dewey the Answer Man, hasn't been here in weeks. Oh, my God. Well, look, this is unbelievable. Russ
is here.
The nicknameless Russ Miller is here. So we need to hook up the fifth the fifth mic and get the man a chair. And Russ, we've got the illustrious Jason Scott on the speakerphone.
Hello!
All right, you need to go into that one, I think. You alluded to that yet?
And it didn't seem to go.
So, anyway,
but why would you want to?
You know, as far as the Comic-Con went, like we just, you know, it just like it really got relegated to afterthought status, and it, you know, almost didn't even get a chance to go at all. So, and I know that Froggy and Tiger were like, "Hey, where the hell you been?" kind of a thing. So, yeah, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that we want to be much more involved next year, and I have a good feeling that we will be able to.
Yeah, I suspect we will, too. We're really, you know, the dates have been announced, by the way.
Already?
April 4th through 6th, 2008.
Oh, well, I can't make it.
You're supposed to be laughing.
Yeah.
I hope they're going to do an open source tax preparation.
Open source tax preparation, Russ?
April 4th through 6th.
Oh, April. That would be. Hey, that'd be good.
I'm good.
And, what do you call it? The pre-registration has officially opened.
No kidding.
So you might want to get in there because they've changed things up a bit. They've reduced the total number of tickets, even though they've licensed out more space from the hotel.
So I can gain weight. Excellent.
You know, it's vaguely more exclusive, and it also is going to have a much bigger footprint with Block Party. Already sponsors are talking to me about wanting to get prizes in or get food in or get other things in. So things are really moving forward. So even though it's well over or just about 8 months away, it's time to start thinking about Nauticon again.
Yeah.
It's like, never Nauticon.
It's like football season.
Yeah, basically this four-month hibernation period with the staff, and then we're right back to Nauticon.
I actually believe that Froggy could sleep for four straight months after Nauticon.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he does. And then he's back again along with the rest of the team, and they're putting the thing together and really working hard this time to make some real, you know, advancements. And of course, like I said, the Block Party side of things is...
Well, now, like I said, we weren't as involved this year as we had hoped to be. So I guess I don't really know what Block Party is. I was only there for like about an hour and a half total. So, and I know like Drew was there a lot more. He put on a talk and stuff. But can you tell us what Block Party is?
Drew, did you make it to the Block Party event on Saturday?
Drew's not here.
Oh, Mystery Phantom Drew, played by my hand. Were you there? Yes, I was.
Mystery Drew, you smell funny.
I was huffing paint.
That the Sancho Drew Panza?
Yeah, it's my little, Drew Palooza.
And a friend.
So if I have to explain it quickly, if you know what a demo party is basically this event that's really big in Europe where a bunch of people come with their computers and enter contests over who does the best graphics, sound, musical performance,
is it like Caligula?
Whatever they want to do.
And that's so being Europe too.
There's deadlines up through onto the Saturday, and then at midnight for the audience, we play all the entries. People vote, and then on Sunday we announce the winners.
That's pretty
cool.
So
you have this almost state fair kind of deal. We give away prizes.
Nice.
Give away $3,700 worth of prizes.
Whoa.
Fried cheese on a stick?
I just recently heard of a cool contest.
Some of them had worked on their entries for months. Some of them, of course, whipped them together that night, and it depended on who was doing what. It's linked from the Nauticon site, but it's also at demoparty.us. And it's basically this European-style party, but we've kind of Americanized it and gone about it a slightly different way, and
it
kind of dovetailed into Nauticon. We had our own set of six speakers peppered throughout the speaking engagement, and we had this event at midnight until about 3 a.m. on Saturday where we just played all this music and sound and video and projects. There's something called the Freestyle Compo. That's something anyone can enter with basically anything. We had one guy enter by playing Gradius, a hacked version of Gradius that had his ship completely invisible. We had one guy brew beer and bring beer to the event and have people taste it. So it wasn't just a matter of computers. Sometimes it was just pure creativity. We had a couple short movies and so on. So that's what, you know, I had dreamed of doing this for years. There had been a few in America, but there's probably been less than a dozen in America, while there have been literally hundreds in Europe. And so finally I proposed to Nauticon, hey, maybe we could run this as a sub-event, a little party at your event. And they said, okay. And so we've been kind of partnered on that. So it's Block Party at Nauticon. If a time ever comes that Block Party should go elsewhere because it's a bother, a pain, or something else, it'll be Block Party at something else or Block Party alone. But right now, it's Block Party at Nauticon, and we committed to doing 5 of them, 5 years worth, because we know that when you work on something for months, you want to know there's something at the end. So this will be the second one coming up. And it's basically like a free festival that you get to attend at midnight on the second night of Nauticon. So it's this total bonus event. Wait, well, after the events happen.
Do you have to be like a, you know, like a registered, do you have to be a Nauticon attendee to go, or?
Well, yes. What happens is that when you get a ticket for Nauticon, when you get a badge for Nauticon, you're automatically part of Block Party as well. There's no demarcation of it. There's rules about entering the contest. For instance, you have to have a representative at the party. And when you're doing contests that are based on things like computer programs, you have to put in all sorts of rules about, like, what's the thing, you know, what kind of computer you're going to run it on and how long can it be and so on. But that's, you know, that's typical. But it's not treated like it's a cord. You don't get a cordoned off nightclub at one point. You can't get in unless you pay extra. It's included.
All right.
So it's this thing that went on with Nauticon, and it was a great partnership. Froggy entered a demo and did an event and had a great time. And we gave away some really good prizes. And if you enter and you win, you get a free ticket to the next year, which is for Nauticon. So it's essentially like getting a free ticket to Nauticon the next year. So we got like 6 people who are coming for free because of this party.
That's so pretty cool.
Yeah, no, so it's a really cool little event, but unfortunately, as we mentioned before, putting it together, getting the groups together, working with people, making sure the systems work, that ate into my radio time, so I couldn't even pay attention to it during the time there, and
so
it really wasn't one.
You think that this next year it's going to be a more of a well-oiled machine, and you'll be able to balance your time better, or what? What do you think?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is that I'll be able to work on Block Party like I did before, but I won't have to. I can say to the Nauticon radio thing, like, here's exactly, like, I know what went wrong. I know that, like, it was because this person didn't talk to that other person, and I know this other aspect wasn't arranged properly ahead of time. So I'm going to fix that well in advance, and so I can drop it properly and can delegate it without having to have someone wait for the next step. So I'm sure it's going to go on, and it'll be just as much fun as it was 2 years ago, and I suspect we're going to end up with another 24 hours to 30 hours of footage.
Yeah, well, and I really hope that we're a big part of it as we were, not last year, but the 2 years prior.
I hope so. You guys are some of the best stuff, especially with the...
we like to be some of the best.
With the Drew drop-in.
Yeah, those were great, and then, you know... I was shocked they went as well as they did. I thought we would just sit there and be like, so, Drew, how's it going? You know, but it actually turned out to be, he's such an engaging, like, kind of high-energy guy that he it
was. Does he have a book he's selling? I might have heard.
Yeah, I think Drew might be putting out a book, or he may have already put out a book. I don't know.
Drew's book is out. It's called, I think it's just called Fark. And it's basically about the media, where he basically rips on the media. And I've read some of his pull quotes, and they're pretty fun. You know, he talks about the fact about how they're able to, because of the way FARC works, where you have source of article, description of article, link to discussion, how a lot of times people will not go to the article, they'll just start talking about it. And so, you know, he's able to use data from FARC to go, this is how people interpret the news. They read the headline, they think they know the whole thing, and they're ready to argue about it. And he talks about how his interaction with the different newsrooms and everything are completely screwed up, and how they'll make all these guesses and just let anything happen. And so it's a pretty good little book. I pre-ordered it, and my copy hasn't shown up, so screw them, but I did leave the airport.
I did
read the article, so yeah, he's got this book coming out. It was like a big seller on Amazon for at least a while. He's got a lot of powerful fans behind him, so yeah, the boy's working on his, you know, media empire.
Well, good for him, you know, I mean...
He's the prince of all media.
I mean, what can you say? He's got one of the most popular websites out there, really.
And deservedly so.
Anyway. All right, so let us move on to our next segment. We will we call this Tim Wurzel's Bare Metal Question of the Week. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Jason, but we have Drew Ivan, aka Dewey the Answer Man, has a good buddy, or maybe he's a relative. I'm not even sure. His name's Tim Wurzel, and he's one of our biggest fans. And when we are doing a show, he submits a question, and the reason we call it the Bare Metal Question of the Week, for those who don't know or can't remember, is that for like the first like three or four questions he asked, they were basically, you know, like software related questions, and we were basically like, you need to
reinstall.
Totally reinstall everything, you know. So basically, the answer basically for everything was just bare metal it. So all right, so here we go with the question, and he starts. He says by saying, "Dorks, I can't believe it. It's actually a new episode. Wow." All my dreams. He says all my dreams.
Probably more like both his dreams.
All my dreams, dot, dot, dot. Like, I don't know where he was going with that. All his dreams came true.
They're coming true, yes.
Or,
oh, yes.
All his nightmares have been realized.
All his nightmares have been realized. Anyway, since you guys have a lot of flair to talk about, and he's highly jealous of the iPhone and Wii acquisitions, I figured I'd tell you about my flair as well. Recently, for my birthday, I got this. And what this is an Element Electronics 32-inch HD LCD TV with ATSC tuner, model number FLX3210.
How many inches is this?
32.
Oh, nice.
Resolution is 1366 by 768.
That's
and various other statistics.
as well.
He said it was on sale from Circuit City, down from 800 to 500. Well, I guess 500 for a 32-inch.
I just
LCD
installed my parents' 46.
How'd that go?
Psycho HDTV craziness.
Well, what brand was that?
They consumer reported and went insane. They were getting ready to retire, so they want to do all their spending before that when they're on the fixed income. So
yeah.
I believe they at this moment have dropped about $3,300 on the entire package, including furniture they needed for it and crap like that. And they're planning to get the HDTiVo, which I'm really excited to hook up.
All right, that sounds kind of sweet.
Yeah, and get that all
well,
going.
What make was the TV?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a Sony Bravia.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is pretty
so they,
up
they
there
went
in
top
the rankings.
Dollar, then.
Yeah, exactly.
At least from the
I think I would have got away with less than $3,300, but I'm sure they
went top dollar from like a consumer standpoint. I mean, they're not. I think you could probably go higher.
Oh,
I'm not sure, but I mean, are there? I'm sure there's like, you know, like the Rolls Royce and Bentley type.
If I had to say TVs. The actual TV price, probably 25 to 3.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be like. Really super high-end LCD TVs mm-hmm. I don't even know about, you know, like ones that are 10, 20.
I mean, what they do beyond there, I think, is they start cramming pixels smaller. That'd be the coolest thing. Because I noticed when you sit close to those, it's not impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I was hooking it all up in there watching, The Tribe on Sports Time Ohio HD, which when you sit back at the right distance is phenomenal. But, you don't want to be too close
to
that.
You can see Travis Hafner sweating because he's in a three-month-long slump. Anyway, so he says the HDTV looks quite good, he must say. It also has a VGA input, and he hooked it up to his computer on Sunday along with
I think the EULA actually dictates he has to say that.
Huh?
He must say. His end user license agreement.
Yeah, that's right. And along with his new wireless keyboard and mouse to play some World of Warcraft on his couch. It was an amazing experience, he says.
Highly annoying to the wife.
Indeed. And that, something to be said about that. Okay, now, on to his question. Since he got his new HDTV, he needs to get an HDMI cable to go from the cable box to the TV. Obviously, there's different prices of cables, and they all seem to run from about $50 to $150. Am I really going to notice a difference between the $50 one and the $150 one? Just a second. Because $50 for 6 feet of cable seems like a lot of money, let alone $150. Right now, I have the cable box hooked up to my HDTV with component video cables, but I know I need to upgrade the cables to the HDMI for the best image quality. Thoughts? Well, Matt's already shaking his head.
I'll cede to Russ because he was overexcited.
I just about a week ago read an article about an exhaustive, I believe it was on Gizmodo, comparing cables. They did many real world and like oscilloscope type tests on them.
All right.
Comparing Monster to the cheapest internet-y cables they could find. And at long distances, there was some difference from his non-real world tests. But in real world, he did find notable problems. For the longer ones.
Longer HDMI cable?
Yeah, if you're talking like 35 feet is what he was looking at.
35 feet?
Yeah. I think
Tim's
from this
talking six to 10 feet.
Yeah, I think that, no difference.
In my experience with AV equipment, 15 feet is generally at the point at which you need to shield the cable. Otherwise, the interference at that length just gets crazy. I've even seen reviews that the component versus the HDMI signal is not unless you
is
are.
Is that actually digital if you're sending an HDMI, or is it just better encoding or something?
I believe it is digital.
I believe it is digital as well.
I believe it's digital. I can't say that for sure, but I think there's a D in it. Is that high definition for HDMI, or is that.
Yeah, I thought.
Hot damn, or.
Hot dog movie interface.
Is the HD imply digital?
You have the Google.
No.
No.
High def is what HD and HDTV
means. I know, but
means.
I mean, does that imply a digital signal?
Well, high def, by definition, I think has to be a certain
resolution,
which would probably have to be digital.
I don't know.
Jason, do you know?
I think that the actual thing is that HDMI is HDCP compliant, meaning that
so
it supports
you can get an IP
the
address
end-to-end.
From it.
No, it supports the end-to-end DRM bullshit that Microsoft was hawking all over the place.
HDMI is basically Satan's nutsack.
Basically what?
Satan's nutsack.
Oh, Satan's nutsack.
Ah. Yeah, it's his actual sweaty balls.
Leathery and handy.
I thought he said Satan's knapsack.
Here's what you want
to hear. The only thing, actually both work really, doesn't it? Especially if his knapsack is full of balls. So, yeah, no, Leathery the thing balls. With HDMI, right, is it's the classic Sony deal. Hey, this thing does sound and video better. Let's fuck everyone who buys it.
High-definition multimedia interface.
My parents bought everything possibly recommended to them.
Okay, so...
It was ridiculous.
So HDMI stands for High-Definition Multimedia Interface, but what I'm asking now is a high-definition signal, HD signal, necessarily digital?
No.
The only way to do it digital is those optical ones then, right?
No, I think the HDMI interface is probably digital, but it depends on your source, right?
Well, that's what I'm
you
saying.
It only come from a digital source.
I don't think so.
Jason, it's not like he might have it over the air.
My friends get their HDTV over the air.
So do I.
When it has interference, you know, it doesn't have like your wavy kind of interference. It seems like it has blocky interference that implies a digital signal that's being...
I suppose that's true. So yeah, maybe all HD content is digital.
I believe that it's digital. However, that digital signal can be broadcast over what we think of as analog stuff. So think of it like a telephone line where you can have an analog signal coming down, but it's sending digital stuff through it as best it can, leaving it more open to glitches. Whereas opposed to a fully digital compliant stream like an HDMI, where everything through it is coming through in specific ones and zeros and everything's designed for that. I think it's possible to still use analog to get an HD signal, but almost nothing that you buy in the modern era would ever use that facility.
Well, and I guess if he's using component cables, that implies that you can certainly send an HD signal over analog. I mean, no, that's analog.
Well, component is the RCA,
that's just,
right?
That's just left
Composite's
and right.
Pretty good.
No. Component is the three colors plus sound.
Component Our, is the three colors?
Yeah.
What is left and right audio and video?
That's RCA.
And what is that?
It's one composite, one component.
I don't know which is which.
That's composite. The left, right, and yellow, red, white, and yellow is composite, which means that all of the video information is composited into one signal. Component, it's separated out into three different...
Composite
meaning...
Component.
Exactly.
But component, well,
makes sense
is
that
component is old, even though that's pre-digital, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Definitely.
But
it's not digital.
I mean, that was, you know, when you got high-quality video, that was the thing to do. The original laser cannon projectors that had three color lamps.
You got laser cannons?
Exactly. We're talking Star Wars-style stuff here. Ronnie Raygun here.
Blaster.
All right. Anyway.
Actually, there was a blaster involved.
What is this, Dan?
An IR broadcaster.
25-foot HDMI cables for $30?
Well, back to Tim's question here. This is the site where I'd like to buy all my cables from.
Uh-huh.
All right, so this is monoprice.com. This will be our YWOW of the week, Yoko's website of the week.
You get mono?
Mono.
And cheap cables.
You can get mono for a price. monoprice.com, its tagline is best quality products at the lowest prices, always.
Now,
what
I found on the site is you can get any cable you want for very cheap. They're true to their word.
All right. So, I'm curious because I know that one of a former client of mine had inquired about like a 25-foot DVI cable, and we were looking at like, you know, $150, $200, something like that, and I really wasn't recommending it anyway.
Monoprice?
But... that's pretty cheap, $30. I mean, if Tim's talking about a 6-foot cable for now, look. Here's something. Right, regardless, so you're saying that component versus HDMI may not. Matt, you're saying that.
I think I'm with Matt on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I have multiple sources for my HDTV, and watching an HDMI interface.
Okay.
Which the Wii actually is.
Okay.
And watching.
480 by whatever.
No, it's 720p.
That's its max, isn't it?
No, 720p.
That's where it's red. Anyway, good.
I think.
I could be wrong.
We'll have to double check that. That's a good question. I thought it was 720. Anyway, even that picture or a DVD, you know, versus over the air HD.
Yeah.
It's all. I mean,
I saw
S-Video. I can't tell.
The component,
I cannot tell.
Did not make any difference to me.
Yeah, I mean,
unless
I couldn't
you're
tell.
Big time,
unless you're
video
a
file.
Nutball, and you want to spend $150, which
right.
You know,
these guys have 50-foot DVI cables for $52.
Yeah, exactly.
That is unbelievable.
You get you get fucked through the drive-through.
Fuck off, man.
All right. Because I was at Best Buy just buying a damn USB cable for my parents' digital camera.
Expensive.
$30 fucking.
Yeah,
pardon my. I could not believe.
Why didn't you call me? I've got like 20.
I was undoing one of my parents' cables, which is a monster.
Little did I know, Irv's, you know, Cell Shack has a.
I don't know. I've got a bunch of USB. I don't know. I've just managed to collect USB and those the old, like, the three-prong power cables. I mean,
nice.
Those things have been in use since my Commodore 64. My 1541 disk drive ran on those things. Those things have been around for a long time, and I have accumulated.
Well, within 10 years, we'll all be DC because it's just too damn hot for doing all this AC stuff. All
right. I'm with that. I want it to be like,
rewiring your house?
I want it to be like a Tesla, you know? I want there to be like a big generator on top of Tower City here.
Pushing it to everyone?
Yeah.
It'll transfer AC because that's more efficient, but over small distances, DC is more efficient.
Well, isn't that what those like power bricks do? They turn
and if,
into DC?
Yeah, exactly. So you're undoing all the work that someone did to AC it. Plus, if you do any generation locally, it's going to be DC, like if you had any kind of solar or anything off the grid-ish. So, DC house is wave of the future.
All right, well, we're...
Marvel, probably a little bit, but mostly DC.
Very good, that's very good. Okay, so, essentially, what we're saying to you, Tim, is that perhaps you should not spend the $50 or the $150 at all. Yeah. Perhaps you should stay with your component video.
If you had to do it, buy it from Monoprice, but otherwise...
That's true. Go to monoprice.com and at least don't spend a lot of money on this experiment and see which you like better. You know, I think that's certainly a reasonable route. You know, if you can do it for like less than $10 or $20, I don't think that would be too painful. And, you know, what the hell. But, you know, the thing... He brings up an interesting point, though, when he's talking about the difference between a $50 and $150 cable, and I doubt that the source and the TV are quote unquote good enough to like warrant spending $150.
Right, the cable isn't the weakest link.
The cable is going to be like way too good for the components that they're.
And if you were to get better components, you probably wouldn't be keeping that cable anyway.
Well, if you're able to spend enough.
I read that Monster may be selling you like cable packaging for life or something. Like they'll
what?
Keep you connected.
What?
I swear I read a headline about this, but as Drew says, I didn't read the article.
Indeed. No, so I
you're fully informed.
When you talk about like audiophiles. When you talk about like audiophiles, they will spend thousands and thousands of dollars just on speaker wire. Because you're going to spend
assholes.
All that money on, well, yeah, but if you're going to spend all that money on a speaker, and you're going to spend all that money on the components, and then you connect it with, Monster speaker wire, you've undone everything, you've wasted your time and your money. I guess if you're really able to buy like super high quality components, the cost of the cable is a non-issue. You're going to spend the money anyway. But in this case, you shouldn't even spend the $50, it sounds like. But if you want to go
to
monoprice.com, go for it.
Three colors plus two audio, if that's the one we're talking about already.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think
mm-hmm.
you're good as
yeah,
is.
I think
yes, we are.
Too bad.
You got three colors in digital for audio as well.
Yep.
That's the best, I think.
And well, if you're, I think the DTS, like full-on spec, says you got to be optical.
Optical, digital.
Okay.
I'm saying that interchangeably.
Yeah. So, but I mean, who the hell?
I read.
Come on, people! If you got a full on, DTS
optical,
or
I do optical digital upstairs.
Do you really?
From my DVD player to my AV receiver, I do the little light.
Oh, uh huh. Yeah.
I do that in S video.
Yep.
Now, my question is not doing a lot of this. Is if you start doing this multiple hookups for video versus sound, do you introduce delay when the TV has to do more or less decoding?
What do you mean multiple hookups?
If you do digital for and something more analog for the other, could they get out of sync?
I would imagine that was a problem early on, but I mean it's all chips. They're doing the decoding, and I'm sure it's lined up. I've never seen.
I know Dan's data mentioned that he sees delay, but I don't think I have his senses.
I take that back on. Well, I don't. Who knows if it's a problem of the system or if it was the PS2 when I was playing Guitar Hero. They've got a setting in there to do delay because what you see doesn't match up exactly with what you hear, and it's like milliseconds off.
Right. Yeah. We're talking.
So maybe it'd drive Renfield insane. Yeah.
Wow, look at you, Russ. Russ with his Russ busted out his pocket PC Sprint phone, and it is dramatically larger than.
Damn, I'm running the short stack over here.
I really wish I had my phone on me. Mine is significantly wider than any of these phones, but it's about the same thickness as Matt's iPhone.
The drawback for me was the antenna. That's what kept me from getting
The nub on the phone.
I've been waiting for the 6800 to come out.
Jabs you just in the wrong place.
It catches my
phone. I essentially use a Sprint Nextel phone that's one of those yellow construction phones because I'm so mean to them. But I'm still working off an old, one-color LCD screen.
This is my third Sprint 6700 because of me since Christmas.
Russ,
I jumped into a pool with it most recently.
Didn't you show up once with like a two-day-old phone with a cracked LCD?
That was the first to second state, transition right there, yeah.
Yeah, Russ is pretty rough on the phones, no question about it.
Yeah, so, I was, a while ago, I was doing some sort of work with sound, and I said to my buddy, or, a guy online, my audiophile friends don't think I'm doing the right thing with the cables. And the person online said, audiophile friends is an oxymoron. Because, I've interviewed people. I interviewed a guy who added a wing to his house for his home theater. And at that point, a $150 cable is basically, a rounding error. But
right.
A lot of people just don't, some people have ears that need help like that, but a lot of us don't.
Right.
The fact is some people can't listen to 128-kbit MP3s.
Well, I know I can.
I just read an article the other day.
I can do fine with them. 64 starts to get a little wonky depending on the sound, but I can do 128.
I can do 64 in my car because I drive a Ford Focus, and the speakers are
Bessie,
shit
right?
anyway, so actually, you know, crappy audio might sound even better. It's like I can't play golf on a really nice golf course because my club is so
used to... You're Jewish?
Well, well, that's not really where... What the fuck is that? All right. Is that your fucking ringtone?
That's my ringtone.
Is that Iron Maiden?
That's Iron Maiden. Run for your life, don't answer the phone.
That's crazy.
That's hilarious. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
I don't know. Hold on.
Golf analogy.
Oh, Jesus.
The thing is that I can't even play golf on nice courses because my club, I'm so used to playing on shitty hard courses that my swing is tailored to make a lot of contact with the ground. What are you doing? What the fuck? What is that? What is that?
The beginning of Jane Fonda by Mickey Avalon.
He's an MOT.
Well, I believe that.
He just played the Grog Shop last
week. My ringtone is the theme song to the game Mule.
I got a baby named Jane, likes to shake that thing.
That's good.
It's a good song.
Anyway, the point is my swing, I'm not going to give this shit up. My swing is like tailored to play
hacking
on like much harder, shittier courses.
Oh.
And so it kind of hits the ground and doesn't take up a lot of the fat or the turf, you know? And so when I go on to play a really nice course, all I do is take up enormous chunks of turf and my ball goes fucking nowhere and I can't putt for shit. In other words, yeah, I'm not an audiophile.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, if you look at a lot of the ways that they do things, like Monster Cable, you say, so you're going to put a $150 cable, of which, by the way, I've seen some amazing discussions from audiophiles about the components and how some are good and some are bad. And what you realize is it's all really kind of arbitrary for about 99% of the people out there. Each time you start to go more and more quality, you start getting into these exponential things where to make it better than your $15,000 setup, you're going to have to spend $30,000.
Have we described
and
this audio hookup?
Better than, noticeably better than that $30,000, you're going to have to spend $80,000. And so you get these people where they're not really in the realm of reality. At that point, you're actually, if you're not willing
Poser.
To rebuild parts of your room, and hire guys to come in with acoustic foam, then why are you worried about a cable?
Why not just hire the band?
Yeah, really, for that money, you might be able to have the band come and play it for you. Like the Cleveland Philharmonic.
I read an article the other day.
$10,000 will get you a band. Let them come in for a day.
Yeah. I dropped a nice little... What's the matter with you? Robin. All right, I spent a nice little chunk of change on my Euro rack. UB1202 here, and that was $99.
Right, your mixer, your multi-channel
but I think
mixer.
I got it for $89. I think it was on sale for $89 at what's the one over by Skyline Chili?
Sam Ash.
Sam Goody.
Is that Sam Ash
or
Guitar Center?
Guitar Hero Center.
Guitar Hero. Yeah, I think it's Guitar Center. Yeah, so that's, you know, it's pretty sweet. And I was considering the fact that we're broadcasting this show out on like 16 kbit. We
the fact that it's going from speakerphone to microphone to...
Yeah, we probably could have done it through two cans and a string. It'd probably sound just as good.
Yeah, I mean, people are really forgiving of sound. I mean, I understand if your movie is costing you X numbers of millions of dollars, you want to have the best of everything and make sure that there's no problem, but most people aren't in that position. They're happy they can see the screen.
That's true. I mean, Russ, didn't we do that one time on the show? Didn't we go to some website that gave you a test of progressively higher pitches of sound until...
We couldn't tell if it was our earphones or us that was the limiting factor there.
I think we checked the range on the earphones and speakers or whatever, and they were well within the frequency range of the speakers, but...
Is that on the same site as the Nickelback demo with one song on one ear and one song on the other and they both suck?
That sounds
and
like...
they both sound the same?
Terrible. God, that's like
one,
torture
is
you
the
just
one that
described.
Makes your head explode, like
pretty much.
Scanners?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nickels suck? Mm-hmm. They were just on the radio
the
other day.
Matt
they're terrible.
Matt was playing Othello
Reversi.
On his iPhone. It was Othello.
It's the same game.
I know. But Othello's trademarked by somebody.
Not just Othello, but Othello during a broadcast showing you how absolutely fascinating the broadcast is.
Well, I don't know, Matt.
We're
Matt,
that
is there
good.
Something we can do to get you more involved in your, you know, in your normal high volume sort of way.
No, I definitely chimed in when I when.
How about
it was
the Microsoft
necessary?
Open Source Initiative?
No. Blasphemer.
Oh, there goes call waiting yet again.
R2-D2.
Rosenberger.
That's my good friend Rosenberger. Mike Rosenberg, who I will return his call after said
I got
show.
A baby named Jane likes to shake that thing.
Well, I've never heard that song before in my life.
It's a pretty good song.
All right, so let's we're
Jane Fonda.
We're in the last throes of the show / insurgency.
But I just got here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Russ.
That's so what you get when you're late.
It's my fault.
Should dialed in.
Let's finish up with this flare thing. We never really got to never really talked. We didn't talk about the flare nearly as much as I thought we would.
And the flare spawned all kinds of tangents.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Well, the you know let's talk.
Hell
about,
of a lot of fun.
Should we play? Well, you know what? My kid's sleeping upstairs. We probably shouldn't play the Wii. Well, maybe we should. I don't know. can't really tell.
You're asking a room full of nerds whether or not we should play the Wii.
Dial a dork.
Wait, Jason, I wanted to ask you one other question. You had mentioned a couple of games, but those games, were they like sort of like, you know, like adventure-type games? Or like you said like a three-week-long game? Do you have any recommendations for like kind of any like kind of like quote-unquote like party games or like sort of simple, fun, you know, one-off games that or do you have any of those yet?
Well, there's party games and there's one-off games. I mean, if you mean games that are good for a bunch of people to play, obviously Mario Party. But if you're going to play like a game like you want some action,
I didn't like Mario
there's
Party that
Marvel
much.
Game, whose name I'm now completely forgetting.
Mario Party in my pants.
Is nah. Holding onto the surface of a table and you're shifting it in various directions to be able to move this marble through all these mazes. And that one really rocks. I lent it to my cousin and their Wii, so I don't actually have it in front of me, so I don't know which one it is.
All right.
You know, on the Wii, believe it or not, what I'm playing right now is I'm actually playing Zelda Ocarina of Time, the Nintendo 64.
Ocarina of Time?
I believe it's Ocarina.
Hey, Ocarina!
Yeah. Yeah, the Ocarina of Time. I'm playing that one. I spent the $5 and I had it downloaded to the Wii, and I'm playing it on the Wii.
Has anyone done much browsing on their Wii?
It's resoundingly beloved as, like, one of the greatest games of all time, so...
That's true. I saw that. Hey, Jason, did you know that I think, like, maybe today they released a firmware update for the Wii?
Yeah, I was letting it go when I called you guys.
Oh, okay. So has it finished yet? I mean, how long did it? I don't even know how to do that.
Well, let's put it this way. It definitely took it less than an hour, because I've been talking to you for about an hour.
What'd you do to it? All right, very good. I mean, of course, I've only had mine for a week, so I haven't really gotten too deep into it. So I'm not sure if I'm even going to notice the difference between the old firmware and the new one.
I'm under the impression the new one has a slightly better way of interfacing. Like basically, it lets you know what the weather is.
Awesome.
And it lets you know what time it is and a couple other things like that. They modified it slightly so that it tells you what the weather is and things on the main screen.
That is, it's so great that I can get the weather on my Wii.
Yeah. The important thing is...
Did you get my text to add me to register my Wii with your Wii?
I did not get your text.
Did you create a little me character?
I created a me, and it looks like me.
Yes. If you register it, our me's will float across the Ethernet and show up on your Wii Plaza thing.
I don't want your me on my Wii.
Yes.
Get the hell off my Wii.
It's crazy.
Screw you.
Do you want me on your Wii?
I don't want you or me. I don't want me, your me on my Wii. I can tell you that right now.
But that way, if you're playing like tennis or any of the games that use the avatars, then it's not always, you know, you actually play another person.
I don't want to trash your rating, dude. I sit here and just destroy you in tennis all day long.
What's your ranking?
The only problem is that it's only got a small percentage of the network real feel that like the Xbox has. In other words, there's very little in the way of live interaction with other people.
That's just a temporary problem, I think, though.
I think, I mean, the Wii is, I mean, still, like, I'm told relatively untapped in terms of its potential.
Yeah, that's basically what the situation is, and it's kind of weird because we're getting up on a year, and I'd love to see, I don't know, some interaction with people in real time. You know, you'd love to see, like, the ability to save stuff where other people could see it. I mean, there's a lot of that that the Xbox has that this doesn't have. But on the other hand, it's really, really hard not to love this interface. I mean, you really love the friggin' interface.
I tell you, it's just amazing. The first night we had it, you know, I mean, I was just completely drenched in sweat because we played tennis and we played boxing and we did baseball, everything. And 2 days later, I was hurting pretty bad, but not as bad. Russ apparently is pretty sore. I guess he played a lot.
Come on, it can't be that bad.
No, dude, I'm getting a little tennis elbow from the Wii. It's a little crazy.
You have no idea.
Really?
Yeah. I swear to God, you play a game of play boxing twice in a row against an opponent who can actually.
Yeah, you got to build up your rating a little bit.
Last, you know, three rounds, you will be completely fucking exhausted.
Really?
Well, maybe not you, because you play drums, and so maybe your arms are going to have a little bit more endurance.
I'm ripped.
But,
Literally, though, gone are the days of just getting fat on the couch, because even if you are not standing up, which I think is more fun, your arms are going all over the place, and it's crazy.
Oh, is that my sling box?
The way that I put it to people is...
Hey, how'd you get his sling box?
When you're playing Zelda Twilight...
Oh, the one...
Hold on a second, Jason. We got, like, noise all over. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I'm saying when I was playing Zelda Twilight Princess, which, like you said, was an adventure game, you walk into the boss level, and he cruises in there, and you better stand up. You stand up, and you're sitting there with your controller, and this thing comes for your butt, and you are swinging that thing like a sword to
kick
ass, and you're aiming everywhere trying to get the thing, you know, trying to hit it in the eye or climb on its back. I mean, this was a case where they literally, as if one was preparing to go out on the ring, you were standing up after walking around going, okay, all right, where am I? Get my ass kicked. Better get ready. And you can't say that's happened much in video games. You know, usually your hand gets a little sweatier just before you step into the boss level. That's about it.
It's no joke, Dan. I'm telling you, it is no joke.
It's a hell of a lot of fun.
All right, look, man, we got to end the show. I just want to end the show by one of the things I want to say is I am watching a sling box on Russ's cell phone, and it's absolutely perfect. It's fucking perfect.
It's very good.
It actually looks perfect on here because
that's
the
TV
sling
resolution.
Box reception is, you know, is kind of crappy on, like.
But he's on Wi-Fi now. He's not on cellular.
But the point is that it looks crappy is because you're blowing up a full screen.
Up like three
TV
times.
Resolution's about the size of that screen.
It looks perfect. It looks absolutely perfect. It's amazing. All right. I love technology.
Technology. Right, is it good?
It is
or
good.
Is it whack?
It is good. Jason, thank you very, very much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you on and hearing your opinions. I'm glad we got to talk about things that you are well-versed in. So it was great.
Whatever I can do to help midwife further episodes of Dial-A-Dork.
Nice.
Let me tell you, it definitely helped. It definitely increased our incentive, shall we say, to actually get this thing together. So thank you very much.
Now just do it every week, and no one gets hurt, and everyone's happy.
All right, perfect. All right, man, thank you very, very much. That was Jason Scott. Jason, wait, do you want to plug anything to the...
Just get your lame asses over to nauticon.org and get yourselves registered, because it's going to go up in price if you don't do it soon.
Very, very good.
Okay.
Sage advice. Anyway, thank you very much, Jason. Thank you very much, Matt.
Wait, I got one more thing to say.
Go ahead.
For the nerd faithful, Flash Gordon returns to Sci-Fi Channel fighting Ming the Merciless.
Head Queen music.
Yeah, I was like, whoa! He'll save every one of us!
I was excited about their Dune mini series, and it sucked the giant.
It was very faithful to the books.
No, I thought that was great. What the hell are you talking about?
Every one of us.
The movie? Yeah, it was great. Dude, it was great.
You ever read the books? It was pretty.
Do you ever read the books?
I'm reading them again.
Good. Get caught up.
I'm I'm nearly into book three.
Makes so much more sense than did in 8th grade, though.
A little bit.
Although the ending of the last one still doesn't make sense to me.
Sure, it makes perfect sense. Or maybe it doesn't, I don't know. Yeah, okay, so it's just, you know, it's the author and his wife or something, isn't it?
I like the implied stare down there, and that's how the show should
actually end. What was going on. Good call.
Yeah, a little bit. Russ was incredulous. Anyway, thanks everybody for taking part, and that's it. Jason, thank you very much. Go to www.dial-a-dork.com.
You're probably there already.
Listen to the archives.
You're soaking in it.
cafepress.com/dialadork. No hyphen. Email us at...
We get those damn unhyphenated.
How's our domain going?
.com.
I'll look.
What?
Our domain comes up, doesn't it? Sometime this month?
September?
Yeah. I thought it was August.
I think it's September.
He'll save everyone
else. We'll check.
Right. Flash! Oh!
Right. That is definitely the cue. All right. Goodbye, everyone.
King of the Impossible!
You get all those pimps together. It was live.